Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to church. It's a blessing we can meet together for worship again this afternoon. We also welcome those who have joined us via the live stream. May the preaching help us to follow and love our Creator with our whole heart. Before we begin the service, the consistory has the following announcements. The consistory, as elders only, will meet, the Lord willing, tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. in the church hall. And this afternoon we welcome to the pulpit Reverend Eichelboom, minister of our sister church in Byford. Before we begin the service, let us sing hymn 55, verse 1.
Together here in church or at home via live streaming, together we lift up our hearts to the Lord and we confess our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And he greets us, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the Lord by singing together Psalm 92 verses 1 and 3, and afterwards remain standing and proceed immediately to making profession of our faith with the words of hymn 1.
Thank you.
Shall we draw near to God's throne of grace and ask him for a blessing? Merciful God, Father in heaven, we draw near to you on the afternoon of this day as your children, the congregation that you bought with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We stand in awe of you because you have mercy on us while we are poor, wretched sinners. We stand in awe because you come to us again this afternoon with the gospel of life, even eternal life. This afternoon, Father, we again want to focus our minds and our hearts on what it really means to confess that you are our Father and that you created the heavens and the earth. We have absolutely no difficulty saying these words, Father. Indeed, just a moment ago, we sang of it in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But you know, Father, when we struggle with questions about life, when we have difficult issues to deal with, then sometimes we find it really difficult to understand where and how you fit in, because we look at our lives and we want it different, Father. And then we imagine that you too must want it to be different, especially when we find ourselves in situations that do not on the surface appear to glorify you. And so we pray, work in our hearts by your Spirit. Teach us to know you as our Father in the way that we should. Teach us in the first place to believe that you always look after us, just like you promised. This afternoon, we pray for our civil authorities. We pray for our Queen Elizabeth in England. Grant that she may continue to set an example for us of modesty and dignity, which is fitting for those who represent you. We also pray for our governments in Canberra, in Perth, as well as our local government. Grant to the men and the women involved what they need so that they may govern in such a way that we remain free to serve you in peace. Now, bless the preaching and bless us also in listening. If we are sitting in church or at home on the couch, work in our hearts by your Spirit so that we may be encouraged to live as your children in the obedience that comes from faith. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and read two passages. First, from Paul's first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We also read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 11, just the first three verses. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So far our reading from the word of God. May the Lord bless it unto our hearts. Now before we listen to the preaching of the gospel, let's sing together Psalm 78, verses 21 and 22. This afternoon I preach to you the word of God as we confess it in Lord's Day 9 of our catechism. Lord's Day 9. Here we confess together, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, out of nothing, created heaven and earth and all that is in them, and who still upholds and governs them by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. In him I trust so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and will also turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this life of sorrow. He is able to do so as Almighty God, and willing also as a faithful Father. So far our reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the Gospel, and afterwards we'll sing Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 27, verse 4 and verse 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, no one really understands why a father has so much impact on his children. Speaking psychologically, we can think of some reasons. For example, already before we went to school, we could go camping in the summer. Or maybe not, depending on if and when Dad had holidays. We could go out with the family and do fun things when Dad was in the mood, when Dad had time and money. Many of us would say that Mum was important as well. Often, when we had issues, or when we just needed to know that we were okay, we would talk to Mum, and she would help us. For many of us, it was easier to talk to Mum than to Dad. But, by God's design, there is an important difference between our Mum and our Dad, brothers and sisters. There's an important difference because God calls himself our Father. God aligns himself with the man who we know as Dad. Why is this important? Well, what does it mean to confess that God is our Father? How can we understand what it means that God is our Father? Well, to help us understand, God gave us an earthly father. Indeed, God gave you a dad. And God says to you, look at that man. Think about how much that man cares for you and what that man does for you. Learn to understand that man who is your dad. And when you know him properly, you will know your heavenly Father. And of course, dads, this makes our job very important, because we can talk to our children about God, about who God is, and about how God acts. That's important. But when Dad speaks, when Dad acts in a certain way, then Dad teaches his children who God is. God wants to use ordinary dads, dads who are older and more serious, and also dads who are younger and more fun. God wants to use dads with long hair, short hair, no hair at all. God wants to use dads who are engineers, farmers, tradesmen, and businessmen. God wants to use all dads to teach his children what it means that he is our Father. And that, of course, no earthly dad is perfect. No earthly dad can possibly know exactly what his children need. Even more, no earthly dad has the power to change his children, like our Heavenly Father has power to change us. And for this reason, dads, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts so that we can give our children an accurate impression of their Heavenly Father. But even more, earthly dads need to trust God and need to pray to God so that God might do what every earthly father is unable to do by himself. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme: Our Heavenly Father keeps us and our children on the road to his perfect and eternal blessing. We will see that this promise is based on God's work of creation, is guaranteed by God's work of redemption, and is brought to completion by God's work of sanctification. Our Heavenly Father keeps us and our children on the road to his perfect and eternal blessing. We will see first that this promise is based on God's work of creation. Now, brothers and sisters, Lord's Day 9 begins with the confession that God, out of nothing, created heaven and earth and all that is in them. That's very impressive. We would all agree. And so this afternoon, I could spend some time describing for you the immensity of the universe, or the complexity of a molecule, or the miracle of an unborn child developing in its mother's womb. I could also talk to you of mountains and rivers and the beauty of nature. I could also talk to you about the coronavirus, so small that we cannot even see it with our naked eye, and yet so powerful that it literally stops the whole world. And, brothers and sisters, when we study these topics, it does not take long before someone says, in the words of Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And this reaction to what we see in creation, where we say, wow, because we are so impressed by God's self-revelation. On one level, this reaction is a very Christian reaction. Because words like glory and glorify and glorification, these words, they really mean wow. When we glorify God, we say wow. But brothers and sisters, and this is the other side of the coin, when we say wow about God and about God's glorious work of creation, how is that different from saying wow about the West Coast Eagles or about Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world? There are so many things that are impressive. When we learn enough about any subject, we will come to the point where we say, wow. So, Lord's Day 9 wants to take us in another direction, brothers and sisters. Not just where we say, wow, and where we are impressed. And we understand this better when we go to Hebrews 11, that short passage we read from the beginning of the chapter. In the beginning of Hebrews 11, the apostle says that the universe was created by the word of God. Created. We straight away think dogmatically created, that means made out of nothing. And that's true. Most of the time, when the Bible speaks about creation, it means making out of nothing. But in Hebrews 11, the point is not God's creative genius. Not in Hebrews 11. Instead, the apostle uses a word, created, which we also find in Matthew 4, when some fishermen have got broken nets. And those fishermen, they take a needle and thread and they repair their nets. The point is that God, he created the world just like the fishermen repair the nets. How does that work? Well, we can understand. Those fishermen, when they repair their nets, no, they are not creating. They're not making something out of nothing. Instead, they are tying ropes together carefully. This rope joins with this rope. This rope is supposed to join with this rope. The fishermen, they tie every rope in the place where it's supposed to go. And the point is, when Hebrews 11 says that God created the world, just like when mum and dad are expecting a baby, before the baby is born, mum and dad make space for the baby to live in. They might say, we need to rearrange the bedrooms, or maybe this bedroom needs repainting, or it needs new curtains. They arrange, they take what fits and they put it together. Dad and mum also think about any clothes that they still need to buy. Dad and mum make all these arrangements before the baby is born, and so they create a place where the baby can survive and thrive. And in the same way, says Hebrews 11, before God created the world, God also thought carefully about what kind of a world would be a suitable place for Adam and Eve to live in. And so, with Adam and Eve in mind, God formed paradise. God said, this is the kind of home that would be suitable for them. That, brothers and sisters, that is how God created the world. And so the point of Lord's Day 9 is, this is the kind of father that God is. The implication is that before you were born, God did not just look around for the most suitable place where he might dump you. God did not say, perhaps in India, in a Hindu family, or in China. God did not toy with the idea of possibly putting you in Mexico, in a Roman Catholic family. God did not weigh up the options and conclude that this particular home in or near Southern River would have to do. Instead, before you were born, God framed a place. God formed a place especially for you. God decided what character you were going to have and what you needed. And God designed a place. God prepared a place especially for you. God carefully chose your parents. And God also chose your brothers and your sisters with you and your needs in mind. And then God even chose your neighbours and your teachers at school as well to suit you. God said, there in that family, as the youngest child, or perhaps right in the middle of that family, this is the right place for you. And then God put you in exactly the right place. girls and boys. Do you understand what this means? Maybe sometimes you fight with your brother or your sister. Maybe sometimes you wish that your family could be different. Maybe you could wish that you had a different brother or sister. Maybe even a different mum or a different dad. But now God wants you to believe that He prepared for you a mum and a dad. He prepared for you a family. He made them all exactly what you need, what is good for you. It is necessary that every child and also every mum and every dad as well believes this, brothers and sisters. Because it happens quite often that especially mums feel that they are doing a lousy job. Many mums sometimes feel really guilty about the things they don't do for their children. They feel that they should be more patient and more loving, but they find it so hard to be with their children all the time. And especially when mum looks on social media, when mum sees what some other mothers are doing with their children today, many mums feel discouraged and they feel as if their children would be better off with a different mum. But then, beloved congregation, then God also wants mums to believe that God did not give them these children by accident. Instead, mums, God carefully chose you because you are the kind of mum that your child needs. And also, if you have one or more special children with special needs, sometimes you might say to yourself, Father in heaven, why did you give me this special responsibility? I'm not up to it. But Hebrews 11 tells us that God also designed you as a mum, and God also designed your family as a special place for His special child. God gave you a special child because your special child needs that special mum. And so, in Hebrews 11, God speaks to girls and boys. And God also speaks to mums and dads. And God speaks to every one of us. And He says, I created you. And I designed every aspect of your life. I also created this church community. I put all these people together into this congregation. I formed it as a congregation that is just right for you to be a part of. So the place where God put you and me is just the right place for you and for me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That means I believe that God designed all things and He made all things. And yes, I am impressed. But much more, I believe that God never made a mistake. I trust that God lovingly and carefully created this place for me and another place for every one of us. Just like a bird forms a nest as a safe place for her babies to live in, God formed a place for you and for me. Believing this, we thank God and we trust His promise that He will be with us and lead our lives day by day. In our second point, we will now see how God's promise to lead us on the road to His perfect and eternal blessing is guaranteed by His work of redemption. Now, brothers and sisters, a question If God created all things, and if God ordered everything and formed everything exactly according to his plan, why should we try to change anything? Especially in this world, where there is so much unbelief and rebellion against God. Surely, if God wants to change anything, he can. He's almighty. And if God is content to leave things as they are, why should we get excited? Why should we try to change anything? I think, for example, about the attitude that our society has regarding children who want to change their gender. We all know that recently the Victorian government decided that if boys want to become girls and if girls want to become boys, the Victorian government said, parents, you may not try to prevent your children from doing that. Basically, the Victorian government decided Christian parents cannot say to their children, you must do this or you may not do that because God says so. Our society is changing. Our society wants to stop us from being Christian parents, Christian office bearers, Christians encouraging each other to speak in a biblical way. If our society is changing like this, can't we just accept it? If we would try to change such things, would we not be opposing God, who is in control? Leave it up to him. Why should we bother? Well, John Calvin, in much of what he wrote, seems to support exactly such a passive attitude. John Calvin often emphasized the fact that Abraham and David were strangers on the earth, strangers, exiles. And Calvin wrote repeatedly that this world is not our home, and we should not be too upset by what we see or experience in the world. After all, our citizenship is in heaven. And John Bunyan, the author of the famous Pilgrim's Progress, and so many other Puritans with him, they also regarded this life as a rather meaningless exercise, where what matters is in our hearts and our future in heaven. Calvin could see that the people of the Reformation were being outnumbered by the Roman Catholics and not heard by the governments of the world. And Calvin said, take heart. Today we are powerless. And today the enemies of the church and the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ seem to be in control. And they are making bad decisions. We cannot change that. Calvin said, let's just wait. Because one day Jesus Christ will come down from heaven and he will set all things straight. And this, brothers and sisters, this is what Calvin preached and wrote. But Calvin said something quite different to the rulers of his time and to the kings and governors of the world. Calvin, he wrote so many letters to the kings of France and England, as well as to the emperor of Germany and the dukes and the princes. Calvin addressed the governments of the world, and he said to them, this is what God requires of you, because, said Calvin, and this is the bottom line, God did not only create the world. No, instead, after the fall into sin, God still upholds and governs all things. This is the point. Even when Adam and Eve messed up, Even then, God still loved the world. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And so, he still upholds and governs all things. Our Father in heaven did not turn his back on the world. Our Father in heaven did not shrug his shoulders and say, "It's hopeless, I'm walking away." In the time of Noah, God could well have done that. And when the Israelites were in Canaan, when they were unfaithful, God could well have shrugged his shoulders and said goodbye. But instead, God held on to his creation. And so he sent his Son into the world to save it. And so he still upholds it and governs it. In fact, after Jesus died on the cross, all authority, all power in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus. He was seated at the right hand of God so that he should be Lord over all of creation. And this means, beloved congregation, yes, there are many godless people in the world, and they have no respect for our God or for our faith. We can see the world changing before our eyes, going from bad to worse. But rather than shake our heads, rather than write them off as good for nothing, consider that this planet still belongs to God, and he still cares. He still cares. And that's why one day our Lord Jesus Christ will come down from heaven and he will purify the earth, and then he will remove all sin and evil, and then our Lord Jesus Christ will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and we will live with the Lord forever in this world which God created for his glory. The world that we live in, which gives us so much grief and worry. This is the world which our Father made. And he said that it was good. And one day it will again be good. And then we will live on this earth with him. And we will glorify his name forever. That is our second point. In our third point, we will now consider how God's promise to lead us to perfect and eternal blessing is brought to completion by God's work of sanctification. If you look in your catechism, you notice Lord's Day 9 refers extensively to God the Father. It refers in passing to God the Son, near the end of the first paragraph. But Lord's Day 9 does not mention the Holy Spirit at all. And that's okay. That's okay, because the Holy Spirit really should never be the focus of our worship. No, instead, what the Holy Spirit does, what he always does, is focus our attention on Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is like a spotlight who directs our attention to Jesus Christ. Also, in Lord's Day 9 of the Catechism, wherever God works, wherever God does anything in the world, in the church, or in our hearts, wherever God does anything, the Holy Spirit is always active. Because, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. And everything that God does by the Holy Spirit. Now, when God describes himself as our Father, and when God explains to us how he formed the world and formed a particular place for every one of us. And when God also explains how he never abandoned the world after our fall into sin, but he continues to uphold and govern all things. We've heard all that. Now we have to stop for a moment. And we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to respond to this gospel? What are we going to do with this message? So again, I want to compare God, our Heavenly Father, to our earthly dad. Some of you will remember when you first moved out of your parents' home. When you first moved out, you thought, hooray, now I am free. I can do what I like. I don't have to listen to Dad anymore. But a few years later, when we had grown up a bit, if we needed advice, we would pick up the phone and say, hey Dad, help. And when we got older, when our parents are not around anymore to answer our questions, many people still ask themselves, what would Dad say if he was around? Brothers and sisters, growing up also involves growing to respect our fathers more. Growing up also means growing to respect our fathers more. And in the same way, when we confess that God is our Heavenly Father, we would all agree, sometimes we just have to obey God's commandments. He is our Father, and sometimes we have to obey. He says, you shall not steal. What do? Okay, Dad, I don't steal. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We say, okay, Father, we will obey. And then, it is the Holy Spirit who helps us to say no to our own desires so that we obey God instead. That's the easy bit. But sometimes it is not so easy. Sometimes when we have problems or questions, there is no obvious answer. And then I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Then this confession becomes meaningful because the Holy Spirit, he guides our hearts so that we respect our Heavenly Father and we go to him for answers. Even when we are mature Christians, nevertheless, when we have problems or questions, confessing that God is our Father means that we go to the Bible and we go there for answers. Because just like when you have trouble with your dishwasher or the remote on your television, then the first place to look is in the handbook, the instruction manual provided by the manufacturer. So the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and he gives us confidence that with God, our Heavenly Father, we will find answers. And so the Holy Spirit works in us. He gives us hope to look in God's Word. And then he also gives us understanding so that we can figure out what the Word of God means. We can apply the Word of God to our circumstances. Our Heavenly Father, he does not watch us grow up and then say, okay, now you're adults, now figure it out by yourselves. Instead, as our Heavenly Father, he continues to uphold and govern all things. As our Heavenly Father, he continues to guide us by his Spirit through his Word to live our lives in service of him. What a blessing it is for us to know that we have a Father who is strong enough to destroy our enemies, who cares for us enough to show us the way. He cares for us enough to always give us what is best. What a blessing it is to know that our Father in heaven, who created all things, gives guidance in all our circumstances through his word. Since he is our Father, we have enough, and we don't need anything else. Amen. Shall we thank the Lord and pray together? Dear Lord God, Father in heaven, we thank you that we may be your children. We praise you for revealing to us that you have made a place for us and you guide and protect us throughout our lives. Father, even this afternoon, we confess that we don't know the future. And we don't understand what your plan is for our lives. And that does cause us some anxiety. We worry. Lord, reality is we have so many things that we worry about with a clear conscience. We understand that we have responsibilities. And we want to carry out our responsibilities. but we don't know how. And then we worry, Father. We understand that this is our problem. It is so because our faith is weak. But Lord, also in this context, we come to you with empty hands. We are not proud of ourselves or of our achievements. But Lord, we pray, be with us. Surround us with your love and care so that we may know ourselves to be safe and to be well cared for. And we pray where we have questions, where we look for answers, will you show us those answers? And then we pray especially for fathers in this congregation. Give them what they need so that they may be aware of their responsibility and of their task to show their children what it means that you are their father. When we pray this, we understand that it does happen sometimes that fathers are not blessings for their children. Sometimes fathers cause their children pain, and then children grow up with a wrong impression of you. Where this happens, gracious Father, will you take away the hurt? Show yourself to be a gracious and loving Father, and then again grant that we may live as your children, trusting you, living in faith and obedience, expecting all good things from you alone. Father, we also pray that you will help us to know our place in this world, where the world belongs to you, but people of the world have turned their backs on you. Help us to understand how we ought to live, when we ought to speak up, and when it would be better to be silent. Grant that we may love you first and foremost. Help us to live our lives waiting for the day when you will give us everything that now already belongs to us. Teach us to live in faith. Forgive our many sins of today, Father. Also forgive the sins which we have committed during this worship service. Graciously take them all away. We also pray for the collection that we have this afternoon at the door, the collection which is also held online. Lord, we pray for the work of mission in PNG. We thank you because you give us resources. You give us an abundance of resources to support that work of mission. We thank you for providing mission workers, missionaries. We pray that you bless them. Use them also to bless the churches in PNG and grant that in this way your people in PNG too may learn to confess more and more that you are God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Father, grant that by our faith and by our faithful living, your name may be glorified. Lead us and keep us on the road to life. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's stand and let's sing together Psalm 33, verse 5 and verse 6. brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of your Lord and Saviour and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.